Welcome to the Word of Christ, sermons from Pastor Sean Denzer, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend, North Dakota, and Peace Lutheran Church in Barney, North Dakota.
The epistle is written in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the third chapter. So, brothers, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and do not be anxious, for your heavenly Father knows what you need better than you do. Not even a sparrow falls without his knowing. He clothes even the grass which is here today and is gone tomorrow. That was last Sunday's gospel, but now the sharp listener hears something ominous, even in that great promise of God, and that is that the birds do fall, and that the grass most certainly does wither. The Lord's care for us does not remove troubles. It does not get rid of death so that we become carefree or careless, never suffering. But rather, God promises that he will care for us in every trouble and through death. The Old Testament readings tie perfectly from last Sunday to today. The Lord preserved the lives of Elijah and the widow and her son in Zarephath during that famine. But even so, the boy becomes sick and he dies. And the Lord is sufficient for this also, because he is the Lord and the giver of life. He is the Father of all creation, and he himself is risen from the dead. Is not life in the body more than food and clothing? Yes, but life and the body are more than life and the body. Because death is no obstacle, dear saints. The Lord can and he will care for you even through that. He will raise you from the dead. The widow's sons in our readings today, they are foretastes of the last day, just as Christ himself is called the firstborn of the dead. He is the grain of wheat buried in death, but who rises to bring with him a full harvest of wheat. Now we need both of these truths, dear saints. We need the promises of our Heavenly Father who loves us in this life, but we also need the certainty of the resurrection at life's end, after this life. We must hold them both firmly in our hearts so that we do not lose heart, as St. Paul says in today's epistle, so that we do not lose hope. Now, at the time that St. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, he was in prison. He was in Rome. And soon he was going to be executed under Emperor Nero by beheading. And yet he wrote to the Ephesians, "Do not lose heart over my sufferings. These sufferings are your glory." Now this is the fruit of what we heard last week, of seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness rather than all of the other worries and anxieties of this world. It is that our sufferings are no longer received as anxieties, but as beloved, as crosses even. Christians even begin to rejoice in their sufferings, as Paul and Peter and all the apostles write. And instead of being anxious, we pray. Failures, sufferings, and the reality of death are not causes to worry, but they are opportunities for prayer. They make us constantly aware that the frailty of man cannot but fall, as last Sunday's collect prayed. And so this week, Paul reports, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." This is the opposite of anxiety. This is faith. And Paul's prayers are not the prayers for the things that the Gentiles seek. He is not merely recasting all of his worries into prayers. What shall we wear? Well, that becomes God. What shall we wear? No. Paul prays the deep petitions of the Lord's Prayer, the first petitions of the Lord's Prayer for his congregations. And he prays for us. And he invites us to join him in such faithful praying. "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named." God is not like a father. God is the Father. From his fatherhood, all earthly family and fatherhood is derived. As he rules this world always for the good of his creation, so earthly fathers are to be the heads of their household and exercise this authority always for the good of their wife and for their children. Now we have the privilege of calling God Father because we know Jesus Christ, who is his only begotten Son. And since Christ has joined himself to us, that means that we too are firstborn sons of his Father. We expect every good thing from his hand. We are his heirs. That means, dear saints, that we receive suffering as discipline from a loving Father. And we receive even those dark things that we cannot understand in faith. In faith that he will work it for our good. And the reason he will do that is because Jesus is faithful. All of God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So your faith in him is never misplaced. This is what Paul prays for today in the epistle. He asks that according to the riches of the Father's glory, God may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Do you see this? The Bible contains a prayer for your faith. It prays that your inner man would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit and with real power, and that Christ may not only be a passing thought or an occasional visitor in your life, no, but that He may dwell, abide, and remain in your hearts through faith. Now, did the mere command from Jesus last week to do not be anxious, did that give you the power to do it? I doubt any one of us hasn't been anxious at least once since the last time we spoke. Well, this is why. This is why Paul prays that the Holy Spirit would be granted to you more and more, and that you would be strengthened in your new man, in your redeemed spirit, strengthened as a Christian in faith against all anxiety, all of the things that would take you away from Christ. And this is what that really familiar blessing at the end of every sermon also says. I say, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I could just as easily say what Paul did. God the Father grant you His Holy Spirit to keep Christ in your hearts and in your minds through faith. Faith is first. That Christ and His Father would be first and not our anxieties. Paul also prays, as he always does, for your love. Because faith bears fruits of love. Just like our colic says today, let your grace go before and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works. And our love for one another in good works, whether it's fathers caring for their wife and children, or neighbors caring for one another, or just doing our job honestly and cheerfully, whatever it is, this too doesn't come from us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that doesn't mean first focus on being nicer people, first focus on self-improvement. No, not at all. Faith yields good works and love. God's grace, His undeserved love, is what makes our beginning in love for our neighbors possible. And Paul talks about it this way, that he wants us to be rooted and grounded in love. That's what he prays for. And then he echoes something else from the votum, from that blessing at the end of each sermon, that you may have strength to comprehend and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The peace that passes understanding is something that God wants us to have and understand. Paul prays that we would know and comprehend what surpasses knowledge and comprehension. How can that even be? How can we know the unknowable? Well, only by the Holy Spirit. And that is why Paul is praying for it instead of just doing it or saying, you better do it. No, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's not talking about how God is going to help you fulfill the impossible dreams of your anxious heart. No, it is talking about faith itself. It's talking about that you would believe and trust in God and be filled with His love, which only God's Holy Spirit can accomplish. He will so ground you in His love that you also begin to imitate it. strengthened in the inner man with new desires, with new affections, and new life. Such faith produces that kind of love and good works. Your Father is able to do far more abundantly than anything we ask or think, much less do, according to the power that is at work within us. The Word of God and the Holy Sacraments, which are the Holy Spirit's means of delivering the kingdom of God and His righteousness, they cause no less than Christ Himself to dwell in your hearts by faith. These Word and Sacraments, they ground us and root us in love, in His love. And they deliver knowledge that cannot be known, and they give to you the fullness of God. How rarely it is that we ask for these things, or even that we think of them. And yet, how abundantly the Lord gives them anyway. His grace in these means of grace has gone before us and continues to follow after us, so that even while we suffer, there is still glory to God in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Dear saints, do not lose heart and do not lose hope. If all else fails, then expect the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We see in the sons of Zarephath and Nain how our Heavenly Father cares and how in Christ all shall be made alive. The word of the Lord in the mouth of His servants indeed proves true. So do not doubt here that Paul's prayers for you are being answered, and that the Holy Spirit is indeed strengthening you in your inner man. Christ dwells in your hearts by faith, and you are being rooted and grounded in love. And that God is bestowing understanding that is beyond knowledge on you, and that all the fullness of God fills you. And if you do doubt it, then come and hear His word and receive His blessed sacrament, that you may be strengthened in all of these. God's kingdom comes in this way, even without our prayers, and yet we pray with Paul that it may come among us also. And it comes when God gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and we live holy lives according to it. Faith bears the fruits of love, and we wait with a certain hope for something that is far greater than these slight momentary afflictions and sufferings. We wait for the day when the dead in Christ will rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Word of Christ. You can find more sermons at verbachristi.blogspot.com. And if you have need to contact Pastor Denzer, you can email him at pastor@denzer.org. That's pastor@denzer.org. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Amen.